This message entitled, The Year 2022, Where Is He, Where Are We? Was delivered to Christ Our Rock Bible Church on December 26th, 2021 by the Reverend Roy D. Warren Jr.
The year 2022. We're going to take 2 weeks this time to get ready for it. We probably need a lot more time to get ready for it, but the sub-question, so to speak, here, though, is where is he and where are we? Where is he and where are we? Glory be to God. In 1940 and 1941, British author Dorothy Sayers was commissioned to write a series of plays entitled The Man Born to Be King. Now, these plays were about the life of Jesus Christ, okay? And it was produced later and broadcast on the BBC, the British Broadcasting Company. But before they were ever even heard, they caused quite a national stir, and I'll tell you why. The language was modern, because up till that time, everything had pretty much been done in the King James, you know, these and thous and all of that kind of thing. And either way, like I said, and like I've been saying, is you know, workable, okay? But people weren't used to anything more modern as of that point. And so, what are we doing here? The dialogue was in everyday English, kind of like some of the newer translations are today, like the New International Version and some of the other newer ones. Many accused Miss Sayers of blasphemy by personifying the Godhead. Like, they felt it was turning God, Jesus, Holy Spirit into actual people. Now, let me warn you about that, okay? Because it can go in that direction if you let it. But you can also see how, as you move into newer days and more modern days and so forth, you know, you can, it's not making them into people just because you hear what they say or you're hearing it in your ears what they say or whatever. That's not the purpose and that was not the point, okay? It didn't take away from what was being said, as long as you stay close to the storyline, okay? And that, a lot of people have not. They turned it into something far away from what it really says, okay? But if you maintain the storyline, you can use different words, okay? It's like any story, really, that is there. I prefer to myself, personally, to, you know, stay with the older translations because everything is pretty self-explanatory there. You know, it's thee means thee and thou means thou and, you know, so forth, okay? But it doesn't make the other person evil unless it gets away from what it's really saying. And I've seen that happen. For example, the Message, that's what the version is called, the Message, is just some guy that sat down and read through the Bible in another thing and then made it say what he wanted it to say. Just wrote it in his own mind, okay? And got it down on paper, and now that's become a very famous so-called Bible. I think there's a real problem with that. I think that can very easily, well, it does get away from it. I remember standing in the Christian bookstore before the rack when that first came out, and they had a whole big rack of those, and I stood there, and probably shouldn't have done this so outwardly, but, you know, I looked at them and read them, not all the way through, but I read certain portions all the way through, and possibly, you know, people were probably seeing me look at that and maybe were encouraged by it, or the other way around. You know, could go either way, but it's just made up. That's just made up. It doesn't even come close. I mean, it misses the point in most everything you look at, because it's just his own head going on. It's just him putting it in his own understanding. And that, I think, is blasphemy more than anything else. So it didn't really personify him, because the fact is, Jesus was a man. Okay? And he did walk this earth and get dust on his sandals, and he did talk to people and had a voice. Okay? Now, who knows what he really sounded like? Who knows what his voice really was? But like I said, God can do anything. Amen? Praise God. So I don't know. I mean, I know, like, in my own reading in the, you know, in the Gizzy thing, that, you know, the Bible, there's one guy that says everything that Jesus says. But he says everything Jesus says. So we're going to be all worried about whether or not he's, you know, got the same voice as Jesus. See, that was never the point of anybody writing any of these things out again and using a different level of language. We weren't trying to tell everybody that this is how Jesus sounded. This is what his voice sounds like. And never, that's not what they're saying, okay? So we can't take it beyond what they're trying to do with it either. All right. Anyway, they portray the voice of Christ over the airwaves, okay? But when the first play, Kings of Judea, aired in December of 1941, public response was overwhelmingly positive. And part of that was because they could hear it. They could hear it. They could hear the storyline. They could know, even following along in their own Bibles, they knew what Jesus was going to say. Now, depending on your translation that you have, it might be a little different, but it's still going to be Jesus. It's still the Word of God. Amen? Unless, of course, like I said, the guy just makes it up and writes it down. You know, that's a different story. When it comes to sheer, powerful storytelling, nothing actually beats the gospel. There's no better story than the scriptures. There's no better story, okay? And it doesn't matter if it's, you know, uses different words. There's no better story. That's what we got to get a hold of, amen? So the question is, where is he? Where are you going to find Jesus? Amen? Praise God. Then the question becomes, where are we? Do we understand what he's saying? And that, by the way, I'm being real clear about that. That doesn't mean that one version is easier to understand. If you get used to any version, you can breeze right through and see what it's saying and see what Jesus is saying and see what God is saying. Okay? We just think it makes it easier. When it comes to sheer powerful storytelling, nothing beats the gospel. There is no better story because there was no better storyteller. Amen? I mean, listen, the first Bible was in Hebrew and Greek. The second Bible was in Latin. Do we know any of those things? You know, is that what we study? Is that what we read? No. So that's not the point. Okay. There's no better storyteller. Kings of Judea took the Christmas story out of the church pews and into the homes of hundreds of thousands of men, women, and children who somehow heard it for themselves. At Christmas time and all year long, I challenge you to weave the wonder of the incarnation into every moment of every day. That's the point. The story enters everything that you're going through. Everything, and speaks to what is the result. Amen? Where is he, and where are we? To tell the story, tell it truthfully, but tell it in a way that only you can. Tell it in a gesture, tell it in a smile, tell it in a hug, tell it in a bedtime story. Tell it in a song, a gift, or a selfless act of patience. Tell it in all the wonder of an eyewitness like Sayers' King Belshazzar of wise men fame, okay, who gazed into the eyes of the baby he came to honor and exclaimed, "I looked at the child, and all about him lay..." See, These words aren't even in Scripture, but they speak to the heart. They explain what was happening. All right. I looked at the child, and all about him lay in the shadow of death, and all within him was the light of life. And I knew that. Now, it's got to be accurate. You can't just flub around with it like what's-his-name did with the message. You know, it's got to be accurate, but it can be in a lot of different ways. I knew that I stood in the presence of the mortal immortal, which is the last secret of the universe. Always keep looking at Jesus and tell others what you see. I guess that's the key. Always, always keep looking at Jesus, but don't forget to tell others what you see. Amen? I hope you're seeing what I'm seeing here. But this, I think you do. I have no intention of saying it over and over and over again. Okay? All right. Praise the Lord. Glory be to God. Whether it's Christmas, whether it's New Year's, whether it's Epiphany, whether it's Easter, whether it's Pentecost, whether it's Thanksgiving, whether it's Advent, keep looking at Jesus and tell others what you see. That's the true storyteller. Amen? See, story doesn't mean it's false. Okay? Story just fills in and let everybody know what's really going on there, if it's done rightly. Okay? And I think that's what I've tried to do through the years and plan to do so in the coming days. Coming into a brand new year, and we're going to take a couple of weeks to do it because today's still in this year, and next Sunday will be New Year's. Okay? So, coming into a brand new year shortly, might as well look at it like we're doing it now. We're going to take a while to do it. I'll put it that way. So, where will he be? I want you to look at our text again. Look at chapter 2, Matthew. First few verses. You ready? Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. Okay? They knew that's where he would be born. All right? Then they spotted the star again, saying, "Where is he?" See? "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." We saw it back there. Now we've come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled. Well, of course he was. He was the current king. And now this new king, this king of the Jews is coming. That means he's out the door. So he's troubled. You better believe he's troubled. And all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. He was anxious about this thing. He wanted to know where he was supposed to be born. Now, you got to remember, Herod was not a Jew. Probably didn't know a whole lot of Jewish stuff, although they called him the king of the Jews. Okay? So it's only his advisors that were all around him who knew the Bible actually said that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem by prophecy. Micah verse 5, chapter 5, verse 5. Okay? And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem." See, even they knew it. Here the authority figure didn't have an idea. "For thus it is written of the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel." Praise the Lord. Well, first, we hear about Bethlehem. Herod manipulated these guys that were looking for this birth and watching for it to happen. And told them, "You go to Bethlehem. Everybody here knows it's in Bethlehem." Now they do, because the other Jewish leaders said so. And found out exactly where Jesus was. Where is he? All right? Verse 7, look at this. "But then he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his..." Well, I'm in the wrong chapter. That's not going to work. 7, over in chapter 2. We would have just skipped a whole bunch of stuff right there. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, secretly, he called them together, didn't want anybody to see this conversation or hear it, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again. Big fat lie, that I may come and worship him also. Had no intention. He was out to get rid of this kid. And when they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. Some people picture it like it was right above the stable. If there was a stable, all we know is that Jesus was in a manger. Could have been out in the field someplace. But so the star isn't, you know, attaching itself to the top of the manger, but it's above it. Enough to shine the light. That's why I say this can't just be a natural explanation. This has to be a miraculous thing that God did, because you're not going to have a light come and stand over a stable if it's a comet. And that's what people are saying even nowadays. It's a comet, or it's this, or it's that. No, it's got to be a special thing that points literally to this building. Praise the Lord. Stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy, because they hadn't seen it in months. Now they see the star and they know what's going on. And when they were come into the house, see, it's not even a stable anymore, it's a house. They saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshiped him. It appears as though Joseph missed this. Not because he wanted to. He probably had to go out and get a job, get some work. He's got to provide for his family, you know, but he's not there. He's not mentioned at all. Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented him with gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. All right? Now, being warned of God, see how obedient these wise men are? That's what obedience is. That's what being wise is, being obedient to God. Amen? He was warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod. They departed into their own country another way. Praise God, another way. And I have mentioned this before, you probably remember it, but the wise men did not follow. It showed up and met them again. Praise God. The star was the sign of his coming. That's what they saw in the east. Okay, they just made their way to the palace. Now, that is where they expected to find the king, and the son of a king would be in the palace. So that's where they went. They went to the palace. They went to Jerusalem. Okay, and it was when they left Herod, they stepped onto the front porch and saw the star. And they praised God because now they're seeing the star again. They hadn't seen it in months. And that took them right to Bethlehem. And when they left the little town for home, wise men were warned in a dream that they too should lickety split it, as I would say. I mean, get moving. And so they did. Praise God. Look at 13 and following. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph. So the wise men are out of there, okay? And Joseph now sees a dream. Arise, take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt. I'm in verse 13. And be thou there until I bring you word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. Now, you can't get any clearer than that. And Joseph says, come on, Mary, we got to get moving. And when he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night. They didn't wait till morning. Okay? No, by night, and departed into Egypt. And there was there until the death, he was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. That comes from Hosea chapter 11, verse 1. And it's fulfilled here taking Jesus to Egypt. Praise God. When Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, that the wise men were not listening to him, oh, he was mad. Oh, he was mad. Exceedingly wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem. There's another, I didn't mean to get into all these details, but I might as well tell you. This is another place where it makes clear that, because people think, you know, they just, you know, killed all the boys. Not necessarily, you know, I don't know if they took the time to peek, you know, see if it's a boy, and then kill all the boys. It says children, slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coasts thereof. Now, maybe most of them were boys. Maybe all of them were boys. I don't know. From 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, this is Jeremiah 31, if you ever want to look it up. In Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and would not be comforted because they are not. They were there, but now they just got killed. And then people say, well, why didn't God stop that? I mean, he basically maneuvered it, you know, by letting Herod know just where Jesus was. God is God. And he's dealing with all hearts. He's dealing with the parents' hearts of these kids too. Not just parents, but grandparents. Aunts, uncles. Think about it. He's dealing with everybody, even Herod. Amen? But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt. There he goes again. God knows what he's doing. Amen? Saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. And he arose and took the young child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. But, praise God, there's another one of those contrastive conjunctions that we were talking about Friday night. Amen? Heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea in the room, in the place of his father Herod. He was afraid to go thither, notwithstanding being warned of God in a dream. He turned aside into parts of Galilee. And this would put him up north. This would put him in Nazareth. So Jesus would be from Nazareth. He would be Jesus the Nazarene. You see how God maneuvered everything? See how God made it happen? In a sense, made it happen. Praise God. And he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be, which is where they lived before, okay, before they ever went to Bethlehem. Nazareth, which it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophets. See, it goes way back. He shall be called a Nazarene. Praise the Lord. He shall be called a Nazarene. Praise the Lord. Wherever the Father said to be, that's where they would be. Joseph would get up in the middle of the night and say, let's go. All right? Praise God. So this is where Jesus would be. And guess what? Mary and Joseph would not be far behind. Not even behind. They're the ones driving the camel or the donkey or whatever it is they had. So where was Jesus throughout this whole thing? Wherever the Father said to be. And where were his followers? Where were the other people that were with Jesus through all these different, you know, places of residence? Not far behind, with him, maybe even what you might say, ahead. That is not only the way of Christmas, but the way it is supposed to be today. See? Amen? See? Where is he? Where are we? Not far behind. Don't ever get ahead of Jesus, by the way, but not far behind. Praise the Lord. And that's the way it's supposed to be today, too. Praise God. And will be today in the true church. Amen? If we will surrender to it. Yes, he was born to be king. Amen? It is the only way we are going to see the big picture. Praise the Lord. Romans chapter 8, verse 28 may be one of the most often quoted and misunderstood verse in all the New Testament. It must be taken as a whole, not in pieces, for its truth to be rightly applied. Pastor tells a story. He says, for many Christmases now, my wife bought one of those 1,000-piece jigsaw puzzles. You know what I'm talking about? They got a lot of pieces. As a family holiday project, and they'd have a card table set up, and they dumped the box out, and they got to the task of putting that puzzle together. I don't know if any of our boys, he says, particularly like the jigsaw puzzles, but we managed to make it into a sort of competition, in a sense. Somehow, they did like it, as it turned out. When you're working on a puzzle that size, it helps to find the corners first. You've all heard this. They put the corners first. They fill in the outer edge, along the outer edge, all the flat pieces, and then the interior. And I can't tell you the number of times one of us would say, there has to be a piece missing. I've touched every piece on this table, and not one of them fits in this space. Now, you think I'm going to tell the story about Cindy's sister, who would, before she went to school in the morning, she would grab one of those pieces, go hide it in her drawer in her room. And I'm not telling stories. She would tell you this too. And she would hide it in her room. And then when she came back, her mom would say, you know, there's a piece missing. There's a piece missing. She goes into her room, gets out the piece out of her drawer, puts it in the puzzle, and she claimed victory in the competition. She claimed that she was the one to finish the puzzle. No, I'm not going to tell you that story, because that isn't part of this one. But I knew you were thinking it. Okay. She says, I've touched every piece, the boy said, I touch every piece in this table, and not one of them fits this space. A lot of us view life kind of like a jigsaw puzzle. It's as if God has handed us the pieces, and we struggle to make them fit. But God, and I've seen people struggle with that too. I mean, put the piece there and bam, 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 try to force it in. Well, if it fits by forcing it, you got the wrong one. Okay? All right. In this puzzle we call life, he sees the whole even as we fumble with the pieces, and he causes it all to work out together for our good and his glory for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. You see, you need the whole verse. And I've seen people use just the first part, God loves us, But there's all the rest of it too. He wants to use these things that are happening to us for his purpose. Amen? So you need the whole picture. You need the big picture. In this coming year of 2022, we got to know that every minute where he is, at the same time, we need to be there too. Do you hear me? Amen? We might be just a step or two behind. Never get a step or two ahead. But we may be a step or two behind, but we're following. Amen? Praise God. In this coming year, because you see, we're not there yet. This is a week away yet. I've never done this before. I've never, start talking about New Year or the things of New Year until we get there. But we're taking a little bit more time with it this year. In this coming year of 2022, we need to know every minute where he is. So we better learn real quick. We only got a week to go. Where is Jesus? Amen? At the same time, where are we? Huh? Amen? Praise the Lord. Father, I do want to thank you, dear God, for this truth that is before us here. Help us, dear God, to know where he is. Hallelujah. In our hearts. Glory be to God. Now, where are we? Are we going to let him into our hearts? Are we going to go along with what he's doing and what he's saying and where he's directing us? Or not? Glory be to God. We thank you, Lord, that you are merciful, you are gracious, and you give your own heart and spirit in these days. And I thank you, Lord, we will go along with you on this one, dear God. We will go along with you on this one. We know where you are, and that should tell us pretty quickly where we are. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' precious and holy name, amen. Praise the Lord. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus.